Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له نشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم نشرح لك صدرك وودعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلا ربك فارغب. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Most has spoken the truth. An expression of this is, have we not expanded for you your breast and removed from you your burden, and which did that which did gall your back, it was very painful for you, and raised high the esteem in which you are held. So verily with every difficulty there is relief. Verily with every difficulty there is relief. Therefore, when you are free from your immediate task, still labor hard. And to your Lord turn all your attention. Also, we'd like to read 14th verse of chapter 31, Surah Luqman, the last verse that we, the chapter that we just read, was Surah 94, entitled Al-Insharah. 31:14 says, وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَلِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتُهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنًا وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنِ اشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. An expression of this is, and we have enjoined on man to be good to his parents. In travail upon travail did his mother bear him, and in 2 years was his weaning. So hear the command. Show gratitude to me, that is Allah. Show gratitude to me and to your parents, and to me is the final goal. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. Alhamdulillah, today we are going to the 13th address of this portion of the female, not really the female, take that back, the woman. Some of the things that I feel that we've established, that the woman is a God-given, God-written symbol. The woman is an ayat to be read. And with that thought came another reminder that ayat itself is feminine. Ayat. Ayatul Kursi. We say ayat. Ul Kursi. Ayat is feminine. The woman is an ayah. And also one of the translations of ayah is miracle. That's one of the translations of the word ayah, miracle. The woman is a walking embodiment of life and what life is in its nature and how it should be responded to. I really feel the need to repeat that as I did last week. The woman is a walking embodiment of life. I'm talking about existence. Of life and what life is in its nature. What the nature of existence is. What life is in its nature and how life in its nature should be responded to. Every time we see a woman, that's what we're looking at. The woman is an embodiment of the universe in her form and nature. I'll say it again and make an additional point right here. First is, this is not intended to flatter the woman, no matter how flattering it may be. Allah, if you want to say, but I don't think it's right to say that Allah flattered the woman, because Allah is not a flatterer. Allah did what he did, and he knew what he was doing when he did what he did. We're just trying to find out what he did. And the more we get it right, the better our life will be. But an example is, because there, believe it or not, there's a whole other side of the lawn, I'll call it, that we still are coming to by Allah's grace and inshallah, Allah's will. I imagine. It's actually happened before, but I put it imagine because I don't want you to think this is something that happened recently. But it could happen sooner than later, as it has happened before. Brother, married brothers particularly, especially, you know, you do something that's really kind of outside of your normal pale of doing something for your wife. Especially if, let's take it like housekeeping or some little housekeeping chore, you know. Maybe you do a few things. You say, well, let me do these things, and I know it's going to be good. I know I'm going to get some big ups for it, right? You do it, and she comes, she sees, but she don't react with pure joy and appreciation as the male ego often invites. Is that, you know, how come you didn't put that over there? You know what I'm saying? How come you didn't do that? It's almost like you didn't do nothing else. And they're like, you know, naturally you want to say, is that all you saw? I mean, what about all this other stuff? Well, what we have to learn to do, now the woman, she has to monitor her way of doing in terms of that, because we all have to harness our natures, because our nature is undisciplined and undomesticated and unrefined and immature, may react reflexively. It's a very male thing, or whatever it might be. It might be a very female thing, but it's a very low-level, immature act. But you have to say, okay, well, that's what men do, and that's what women do, and I want you to understand this about that little example of quote-unquote criticism that seems to overlook all the other thing that we would think should be complimented. Well, that's how the universe is. You can do a lot. You can do a lot of good things. And you get the benefit from the good things that you do. But the universe will always tell you there's more to do. And that woman who is an embodiment of the universe, I want you, when you see or feel or experience that action from her, don't go to, oh, man, I ain't going to do another thing. Don't go there. Don't go there. Go here. Well, that's the universe. That's true. I could have did that. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about my ego points that I was getting. I wasn't thinking about perfecting it. So when she hits you with that, is that okay, well, that's the universe. That's how it is. And then I'll do better next time. And then she might turn around and say, but you did pretty good on this right there. I really like that, right? That's the universe again, right? So we have to manage our natural responses and react. I'm both male and female. But since we're talking about the woman, men, we have to understand that behavior on her part is quite natural. It's quite natural. And so when you read her like that, then there's more peace that will come out of it as a product. Because again, like I said, everything we talk about in these regards, you know, it's abstract. It's truth without detail. There's an individual reality to your wife. There's an individual reality to your husband. There's an individual reality to the woman you know and to the man you know and the woman you are and the man you are. Wallahi, you got to work that out yourself. But in principle, it is the same, because we all have the nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in and for and created in us. All right. So the woman is an embodiment of the universe in her form and nature. She's a sign of how we should live for and as men, as women, and as a society. See, the woman is not, and this is the point it's very important to understand. Woman, you have to stand outside of yourself and look back at yourself and see how you're measuring up to the nature that Allah created you as and for. Just like a man has to look at himself and say, am I being the man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me as or for? Do I have evidence of that? And we talked about 434 as the cornerstone for everything that we're saying, and we won't go back over that territory. So This is the foundation that all of our conversation going forward, and has been, but since that summarizes it, then always think of our conversation in that frame. We're speaking about the woman as an archetype. We're speaking of the woman as a model. We're speaking of the woman as a sign. We're speaking of the woman as an ayat to be read. That's what we're speaking from. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the whole world is a provision, and the best object of benefit of the world is a righteous woman. الدُّنْيَا مَتْعٌ وَالْخَيْرِ مَتْعِي صَالِحَةُ مَرَّةُ صَالِحَةُ. The world, الدُّنْيَا, that means everything that's in our life's experience. الدُّنْيَا is مَتْعٌ. It is benefits, provision, entertainment. And the best of those in الدُّنْيَا, in the whole world. Don't think dunya means materialism. That's somebody gave a crazy definition for that, and it got some legs in the society. No. God said, don't forget your share of the dunya. Okay? But in terms of all the things in the dunya, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, the object of your greatest benefit is a righteous woman. And in 434, that's the primary attribute, quality of the woman that must be fulfilled by her in order to be on the path as the woman that Allah created her to be. Just like if a man is not responsible for a woman in the way that Allah has ordered for men to be, قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Well, similarly, if a woman is not righteous, she hasn't begun to be the woman that Allah created her to be. So those two very simple, singular attributes and qualities, the absence, however, of either of those, you haven't even started being a woman and you haven't even started being a man. So, سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى سرد العالى tells us, glorify your guardian evolver most high, who gave everything its form, its place within a system, gave it a potential to evolve from simple to complex, and gave it a role in the guidance of Allah. Very important. When the Prophet first received the revelation, was the first reading, or the first revelation was to read, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. But there was no Quran, but there was a book, the universe, as a book, even in the term that this constructed language gives us, universe. It's one verse, but you have to learn how to read it. And Allah says in the Quran, there's going to come a time at the end of time when the universe is going to be rolled up like a scroll. So Allah is telling us that the universe is something to be read. And if the woman is an ayat, then she is also something to be read. And then when we learn by reading, then we have to follow the reading. We have to pray that God guides us with the right reading and then follow the reading. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us when he gave us the woman as an ayat. And then inshallah, we learn how to read the woman and then follow the guidance in her nature. Not just in nature what she says, not just in nature what, quote unquote, she does deliberately, but in processes that go on in her that she has no control over. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that put her in that form. And when Fir'aun asked Aaron and Moses when they came to him as Allah had ordered them to, Pharaoh asked, who is this God of you two? Aaron and Moses, right? Who is this God of you two? And Moses replied, "Who الذي أعطاه كل شيء خلقه ثم هذا?" He is the one who gave to everything its form, and thereafter its guidance. خلق فسوى قدر فهذا. خلق هذا in the 87. You go straight from the form and it ends in the hada, the guidance. Allah put it together in that circumstance with Fir'aun, which is to bring us the critical abstraction, which is what? هُوَ الَّذِي عَتَاهُ خُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ. He gave it its خَلْق. He gave it its form. ثُمَّ هَذَا. And then from the form, you get the guidance. So when we understand more about the form of the woman in physical terms, in rational terms, in psychic or spiritual terms, we can extract from that much guidance, and that's what the object is. We've talked about the signs in the menses. Furthermore, we talk about pregnancy, labor, childbirth, and weaning. All of these are a part of the hadith. All of these are a part of the guidance for the life of both men and women and the society as a whole, because it is all a sign. It is all revelation. Allah created these processes that way. And He invites us to read the processes and then translate the processes into how we live. Don't ever let anybody play Imam Wazidi Muhammad Rahim Lahulayhi down. I mean, it's been a long time since I kind of hit it like this, but I think this is a moment where I need to remind you just in case anybody forgot. Listen, the Imam, he has abstracted, by the grace of Allah, from the Quran, from the nature of life, from the nature of knowledge and wisdom and how it evolves and how it grows and how it's applied, and how it is abstracted. He says we have to have creation-supported social logic. This is his language. Creation-supported social logic. That's axiomatic. That's a principle. I said, well, what about the Imam school of thought? Okay, if you understand something, hold that right there. Creation-supported social logic. What does it mean? How does it apply? How do you get it? You look at the creation, any part of it, star, moon, sun, woman, man, children, blah, blah, processes that are involved in natural society, human beings. You see that, so you're looking at creation. And then you extract, and that's also education. Education means to draw out. So it is abstracting from the creation the processes that it's giving evidence to, and it's giving evidence of. So you abstract, you extract, you get educated by that creation, and then you make the translation of the process to its social relevance. That the stars function, the way that the moon functions, the way that the sun functions. What does that have to do with society? That's the question that you have to ask. It's not just about being an astronomer. It's not just about being a biologist. It's not just being a scientist of this, that, or the other. Because in that, you understand, inshallah, God willing, because nobody encompasses any knowledge except by the will of Allah. If you grasp that, if you get that, and it can be called knowledge, you only have one part of it. Because you got that khalaqa, sawa, qadara, that's the three. You got those three. But until you get the hada, you just may as well be a book on the shelf. Okay, well, he knows all the knowledge of the periodic table, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, take him off the shelf or something. Then he tells you, okay, you can go back on the shelf. What does it mean? If you ask a book, what does it mean? Is the book going to tell you? Well, I mean this. No, the book said, I'm just going to tell you. You weren't supposed to find out what I mean. Same way with creation. So the Imam has abstracted from the signs in the life of the human being, and he tells us how to apply its logic in society. What is logic? What does logic mean? What logic means, not just the Aristotelian, Socrates, that kind of thing. What logic means is, okay, and how am I supposed to behave because of that? If you don't know how you're supposed to behave because of that, you don't have the logic. You can memorize the whole Quran, you can memorize the whole volumes of hadith, but if you don't know how to apply it circumstantially, situationally, what's the value of what you got? You're just another book walking around in the flesh, and it's good, and we can benefit from you, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, if we don't ask you how that's supposed to be applied. So it's the same way with what we see in the woman. What are the processes, and how does it apply? And when we learn that, we have creation-supported social logic. Then when we act on that, we're acting in the guidance, and inshallah, it will reach the destiny. That is, we will reach the destiny that Allah intended by revealing it in the first place. So let's look at, let's go beyond the menses, right? So now we want to speak to the processes and to the life wisdom that Surah Al-Inshirah actually brings us. Last week we mentioned it, we're mentioning it again as we transition from this idea. Inshirah, which is from the same root that the surah is identified as, Surah Al-Shahr, is how we often say Inshirah, but actually Surah Al-Shahr, Sheen Ra-Ha, right? So Inshirah is from that. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Inshirah means joy, relaxation, delight, glee. The root is sharaha, also carrying the meaning to please, to comfort, and to relieve. Mashraha is the operating room. Ilmu tashrih is the science of anatomy. In classical Arabic, shuraihun and or mashrahun is the proper name for the female genitalia. So it's in the same, it comes from the same root. And we remind you that this constructed language, womb, when they say womb, that constructed language is one that puts secrets in words that have silent letters. If there's a silent letter, there's a secret in it. Womb, there's a secret in the womb. And I'm saying the secret is the womb. The secret is the womb. Even for you studious ones, even the term fitra tells you something about her anatomy that is descriptive of the fact that she is nature. So that's one for the students who gotta go dig it up. But it's also feminine, right? So the verse 31:14. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولي والديك إلي المصير صدق الله العظيم. And we have enjoined upon man to be good to his parents, on travail upon travail did his mother bear him, and in years twain, 2 years was his weaning. So hear the command, show gratitude to me and to your parents. To me is the final goal. In this, the surah al-Shahr, the surah says, وَوَدَعَنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكْ وَوَدَعَنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكْ. وَدَعَ is to say something is laid down. A woman who's pregnant is called hamil in Arabic. Hamil. She's carrying a burden. We ask Allah in our dua sometimes, when we make that particular dua, it says, وَلَا تَحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. And do not burden us with what we don't have the ability to bear. So the hamil means to carry a burden. وَوَدَعَ is to set the burden down. When the woman has the baby, in fact, I believe it's wada'a ma'ulud. Wada'a ma'ulud. That means to give birth. Wada'a ma'ulud. Inshallah. So the idea is that there's an experience in the woman relieving herself of that burden. Oh, you know, just think about it. You know, we go to the, it's in the language, right? Where you go? I got to go to the restroom. What you going to do? I'm going to relieve myself. But when the woman gives birth, she's relieving herself. And she's being relieved. She's laying down a burden. As Allah says in the verse that we read, He said that she's been kept travail upon travail. Oh, man, you know, mashallah, sisters, I'm not trying to bring back pain to your mind right now, but oh, you see them now, I mean, they can get to that point where they got to move from the couch to the bed, man. She got to, what's she holding? Her back. وَوَدَعَنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَاكَ We relieve from you the burden. And there are hints in the language, even of the surah. أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدَرَكَ Translated said, have we not expanded for you your breast? Now, some of us been big enough to have breasts. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. I've been there. No, Muhammad, my boy, when he was young enough to have that kind of innocence, and I was big enough to get that report, he said, you got breasts. What could I say? You know, like, that's what they look like to him, right? but the main reference is not going to be to males when you use the term breast. It's going to be to female. MashaAllah. And it's important that the Quran tells that what the woman is supposed to cover is mainly her breast. I mean, a lot of people, they focus on the hair, but go back and read that verse again. All right, I'm trying to take my time for you and for me. Let's see what's up. Okay. So let's take a couple of steps. This wada'a is actually speaking to that moment when the baby finishes exiting the womb. It finishes exiting the womb, and there's a moment of pleasure post-labor that comes out, that comes as a result of, then baby's out. That's wada'a. Brother, we would never have that. We would not. That Allah has reserved that pleasure, and she paid for it. Trust that. Sister said, I mean, Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. I'm not trying to bring any pain, but I heard it give the analogy, give it, say, look, if you really want to understand what kind of pain a woman goes through when she delivers a baby, just imagine pushing a basketball off the tip of your male genitalia, let's put it like that. He said, no, we don't even want to think about that. I see some brothers squirming in their seat. He said, ooh, that's too tough. Yeah, but that's wada'a. Wada'a is a pleasure that comes after all that pain. But there's also pleasure that comes in the midst of the pain. In her nature. This is a part of the ayah that is in and that the woman is. فَإِنَّنَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرٍ There's a site, website, whattoexpect.com, speaking about pregnancy. I'll read a couple of notes from it before we conclude this first portion. So the author says of the labor and delivery, it says, you probably already know that pregnancy is all about hormones, in particular estrogen, progesterone, and HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin. Hormones are also essential to childbirth and to sexuality. Understanding the hormonal interplay that's happening all along the way, from conception to pregnancy to delivery and beyond, makes it easier to see how natural it can be for a woman to feel sexual exactly when she probably least expects it. So he's talking about in the midst of labor. Most important, oxytocin, which is the so-called love hormone. I think there's a black market thing for oxy. I hear the language oxy. I think this is what they're talking about, synthetic oxy. But in any case, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put it in our body. And then shaitan does whatever he does after that. It's not always shaitan. Maybe somebody generally trying to do good with it. But how often do good things get turned into bad things in this world? But let's move past that subject. Most important, oxytocin, the so-called love hormone, plays a starring role in childbirth. Oxytocin plays a starring role in childbirth. During labor, oxytocin is released in large quantity. This is God's pharmacy going to work in the body of the laboring woman. It begins to release oxytocin in large quantities. In fact, it's even used to induce labor or spur it on. The hormone stimulates contractions of the uterine muscles and increases production of prostaglandins, which also encourage contractions, and it's responsible for kick-starting those maternal feelings. Think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the midst of that labor, he's setting it up for the future of that mother and child. In the midst of the labor, innama al-usri yusr. The feel-good beta endorphins, adrenaline, noradrenaline, also kick in as the labor pains intensify. Oh, man, alhamdulillah. We thank Allah for the nurses and the doctors and the midwives, etc. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, look, if you can just stay as natural as I created you, I got the pharmacy, I got the staff on board, online, at work, inside of you. So he's in the body, say, hey, look, we need a little more of that adrenaline right here. Come on down. Oxytocin, a little more to the right. It's okay. Yeah. No. Put some more on that, man. Can't you see what's going on with her? The servants of God in the body. Allah created them to do. So the feel-good beta endorphins, adrenaline, noradrenaline also kick in as labor pains intensify. These help to give the woman the stamina she needs to complete the Herculean task and provide natural pain relief. MashaAllah, it's real easy for me to take my hat off to the woman, mashallah, and for a woman to sign up to have baby. I mean, let's have another baby. Come on. Let's have a homie. No, not homie. The man, he could be, but it ain't always a homie. But he said, we can't afford it. I'm not saying it's wrong to have that concern, that sentiment, etc. But her request is just far more serious than we imagine. You signing up, complete a process whose end is like dying, and a process that could end in your death. After that, courage. Serious courage. Most of us men, we don't get it because we've never been there. But if you've ever watched your wife, your child's mother, deliver a baby, you say, oh my God. I'm telling you, wallahi, you know, we're Muslims, not Catholics, but they had to put me out of the, when Camila was being born, they had to put me out because they were doing some stuff, not put me out with like, no, they said, get him out of here. I mean, I was there for most of it, but when I saw my wife going through what she was going through and there was something that they had to do, I won't mention it because it hurts sometimes to just think about it. What she had to do, what they had to do is, you know, I had to ask them, what y'all doing? Get him out of here. So I was still on FOI mode at that time. I said, man, you got to get out of here, man. And then she come back and sign up for that again? Yeah, you understand? This is the end of this poison. But it's like she transmogrifies into, I don't know how many Spielberg-type creatures that come. Oh, my goodness. MashaAllah. And then the baby comes, and wada. Alhamdulillah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. آمين. الله أكبر. From another article about labor, says oxytocin is the hormone that causes the uterus to contract during labor. Levels of oxytocin gradually increase throughout labor and are highest at the time of birth, around the time of birth. When it, that is at that time, contributes to the euphoria and the receptiveness to her baby that a mother usually feels after an unmedicated birth. God has made chemicals. You know, MashaAllah, unfortunately, you know, we have to use these references because that's what's out there. You know, people selling what they call E. You know, E is like ecstasy, whatever. It's like, why are you selling these drugs? So that people can feel a certain way. They want to chemically change their consciousness. You know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the birth process, He gives that euphoria at the very time when the pain is intense. And that euphoria and that chemical, Allah's chemical, that hormone from Allah is also designed to set the mother up to love the child that put her through all that pain. The way I'm saying this, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically gives the woman a psychoactive drug so that your trip is going to be, there's a lot of pain. Ooh, but I love this baby. Now you talk about some cold drugs. Now that's God. You can't get higher than God can get you. You know what I'm saying? So let that other stuff go. If you're messing with it, let this be the day. It's like, man, I'm going to get some of God's drugs. I know y'all don't like the way I say that, but if you get God's drugs, then you get high in a way. And mashallah, I was just reading the verse of Surah Rahman. Is that in that Jannah, yeah, you're going to have some wine, but the wine not going to intoxicate you, and the wine not going to leave you with a headache. And the wine not going to leave you with a hangover. That's the kind of wine I'm drinking up here. Y'all want to hear it? I'm telling you, that's what's up. You can get high with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. Alhamdulillah. Now, I don't know. I don't know about too many drug and wine references. Maybe I'll whether this a coupe bar, what you talking about? You need to look up the definition of khutbah. Look it up and you'll find that. And let me help you just a little bit. One of its meaning is a prescription. All right, enough said. Let's move on. So it says oxytocin has another crucial role to play after the birth. Oxytocin causes the contractions that lead to separation of the placenta from the uterus. There's big teaching in all this, the placenta and all of that. There's some people still living in the placenta of this society. Oxytocin has another crucial role to play after birth. Oxytocin causes the contractions that lead to separation of the placenta from the uterus, and it releases the afterbirth when oxytocin levels are high, strong contractions occur that reduce the chances of bleeding or postpartum hemorrhage. Like the other hormones, prolactin has effects on emotion and behavior. Prolactin helps us to put our baby's needs, going back to the psychoactive chemical, hormone, etc. Prolactin helps us to put our baby's needs first in all situations by increasing submissiveness, anxiety, and vigilance. Prolactin that's coming up in the woman's body as she delivers the child, it also is a chemical message to the brain of the woman. Now you've got to get ready to take care of this child. You've got to get, this is a chemical talking to her mind, giving her the mind that says you have to be ready to put this child's needs over all other needs. Prolactin in the woman's mind and neuronomy while this process is going on. God is setting it up. A successful life, a successful tie between parent and child, which Quran calls mystical. It says, and the mystic tie between parent and child. When prolactin, now watch this. Hey, come on now. Y'all wasn't born in heaven. I got to use analogies. I know you understand. So here comes the chemical cocktail. When prolactin is combined with oxytocin, as it is soon after the birth and during breastfeeding, it encourages a relaxed, selfless devotion to the baby that contributes to a mother's satisfaction and her baby's physical and emotional health. That prolactin and oxytocin mixed up. When the baby come up, mama is loaded. Wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. Our brand new grandbaby, oh, there's a lot of grandbabies around here nowadays. Most recently, hi, grandbaby, I've seen several pictures. You know, and one of the last pictures they sent me of the baby, she's smiling and she's sticking her tongue out. Okay, now I know. She's loaded. She's high. I just come off that breast, man. What's up with it? Her and mama feeling real good. Who set it up like that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna ma'al usri yusr. With the difficulty, it's in the very nature of her life, the nature of her existence, the nature of her body, the nature of the processes that come through her. That's her life. This, my sister, a part of the creation supported social logic for you in this, since Allah has made your life and your body and your being that way, what is He telling you for guidance? I say He's telling you that you need to live this surah. You need to make this surah central to your existence, because in the nature of society, in the way that men are and man is and society is and is not, you will find yourself
more often in challenging situations that are frankly not normal if the society was grounded in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered. So therefore, you have to deal with many un-Islamic, non-Muslim, non-God-giving, God-given situations in your life, but God is not asleep, and God is not absent, and God has not forgotten you. And the verse that actually, the surah that actually said that these two surahs were actually revealed together, the one that comes before it. Where Allah, I'm somewhere else right now. Where it says that I haven't abandoned you. So, in any case, Surah 93. وَالْدُّهَا وَلَيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا There's so much more to be said about that. Allah, we thank you for your divine grace. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your aid and assistance. We thank you for the forgiveness for our shortcomings. We pray that you would guide us nearer to the path, even in this. We bear witness that there is no God but you. We bear witness that Muhammad is your perfect model and example for human beings. We bear witness that Muhammad is the revelation walking on two legs. We pray, dear Savior Allah, that you would bless us to realize in our life the Islamic way. Bless us to understand the creation-supported social logic, so that we might live in the way that you would have us live, and that we might receive the promises that you have made. And we know that your promises are sure. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa akim as-salat. Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله استوس تكلم يحكم الله وتبكم الله make a road straight and evenly no space between the shaitan dividers. I have a couple of announcements that to be made after we finish. No wait, Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودأك ربك وما قالا وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولا سوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فأوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك
فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانتب، وإلا ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعزك الله. سبحان الله. الحمد لله. الله أكبر. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم، له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه، يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم، ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء، وسيع كرسيه السماوات والأرض، ولا يؤوده حفظهما، وهو العلي العظيم. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. الحمد لله. بسم الله. Just a couple of announcements. We have two passings that we're acknowledging right now. Actually, three. Those of you who knew Abdul Hakim, many of us affectionately knew him as Lee Willie. Lee Willie. Inshallah, he passed away last week sometime. It's going to be. He's having a military funeral. At the 55th and Foothill, mortuary, between 2 and 3, I don't have the exact time right now, on the 5th of February, that's a Wednesday, I believe. Also, Sister Nisa, who used to be the captain in Temple 26, she passed away. Inna lillahi inna ilayhi rajiun. And also Amira Salam, some of you know her. She's not here right now, is she? She's actually living in San Jose now. She's from, her sister passed away. Waheed, would you happen to know anything about that? Or sister? Oh, you don't? Okay. Well, her sister passed away. Inna lillahi inna ilayhi rajiun. Sorry, I don't have a name for her. Okay, mashallah. Who? Fatia, she's still at Summit. Nobody knows. I think they were going to move her. Okay, so she's still at Summit or in San Francisco. Okay, she's at Summit in Oakland. Inshallah, may Allah. Allah is present. Allah said, when you visit the sick, you'll find me there with them. So even if we're not there, Allah is there with them, and we keep them in our dua, alhamdulillah. Okay. Now, a warning. Crab feed. Don't go down there. Come up. Crab feed, February 29th. There's only 46 tickets left for that, February 29th. So if that's a part of your annual round that you'd like to make, you need to get in with it right now, because that's going to be the limit, inshallah. May Allah guide us, forgive us our shortcomings and errors. What do you got? Go ahead, quickly.
Say again. There's nothing. Oh, there's less than that. Okay. About 40. Okay, inshallah. May Allah guide us. Amen. As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum.